Hello, everyone. This sermon is going to be based off of a bunch of other sermons that I learned from around the summer, and it's going to be part based off of three camps/conferences that I went to. The first is the IBCM conference. The second was a camp from the IBCM conference was. So I don't remember the place. I'm not really that familiar in Malaysia, but no, Kuala Lumpur wasn't the camp where it was at. Yeah. Tapa. Yeah. And then I spent 1 week in Turkey Hill Bible Camp. Yeah. So first I'm explaining the two speakers from the IBCM conference. So the first one is Dr. Ramez. He was a missionary from Egypt, and he spoke on leadership and missions. His presentation focused on the I am statements of Christ, and Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the life. The statement served him well on the mission field. He used illustrations about his work in Egypt, about evangelism with Egyptians, and his wife was an English teacher. So that's where he got his inspiration, he said, from. Before I get into that, I just want to say we had a great time there. And by the way, we dropped the boom.
Oh, sorry.
Phil Boom. And then the second speaker I had a pleasure of listening to was Dr. Nate Bramson, and he was kind of your in-your-face guy, really loud, serious guy who served as an evangelist in Bangladesh. Now, I'm not going to go into what he did, but actually, I will go into what he did. He went two rows down, and then pointed at someone, and then gave an illustration on what this person should do to be saved. And it was like really, really unique experience, I guess. What really spoke to me about the other speaker, actually, Dr. Ramez, was that his grandfather had a textile industry empire in the 1950s. They lost everything and had to escape to Canada from Egypt. And then he went to Ebenezer Bible Chapel in Canada, and he lost billions, actually. He was going to inherit a company that was billions of dollars in US dollar. And then he was given the chance to go to a Bible community. He was saved there. And to this day, he does not regret losing a big empire. Instead, he embraces it. And in his sermons, he's talking about I am statements and how we should be more like God instead of being working up to have a textile industry like his grandfather did. And he's not criticizing his grandpa. He was just saying that you should be more like Christ in that you don't work towards money. You work towards the scriptures. And I'm just going to go through a few examples that he went through. He went through a few I am statements, actually. So he said, I am Yahweh, which is Jehovah, which is Lord. And he quotes a verse, John 8:56-59a. Before Abraham was born, I am, and they picked up stones to stone him. And then another part, John 18:4-6, I am he, and the soldiers fell down. And then he goes into many other examples of I am statements, or examples of the I am statements that he's referring to. And then he says, I am the bread of life. And I'm sorry I missed out a lot of things. I'm just trying to condense it into 20 minutes. He says, I am the bread of life. And what's really crucial about this is he's from Egypt and bread is essential. He said bread is the essential staple of what most people worldwide, and it sustains people physically. Jesus sustains us physically because he is the bread. He also says, I am the living bread. Anyone who eats of me will have bread forever. But Matthew 4, verse 1 to 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from me. And these are all from the notes he said. So I'm missing a lot, but. And then he goes on to ask a lot of questions like, is Jesus your sustainer? Do people recognize you in this way? And what obstacles do you need God to help you with to turn you into an opportunity? And the same way that Dr. Ramez does this, also Nate Bramson does the same thing. He says, what is hindering our work and our ministers of reconciliation? And he doesn't go into I am statements, but he's talking about our identity in the church. So they're kind of different things, but are still impacted on it. And it all comes down to the part of abiding as an active Christian in leadership. Leadership, they didn't exactly talk on. It was more of the electives that I learned about, more of leadership. But leadership was, you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And to lead others according to what God is. I'm experiencing some technical difficulties. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Christ's love compels us in the mission field. I miss that. And leadership and stepping into the church as an active Christian. So that also I missed. So I'm going to go on to the second point now. God has a plan. We need to follow it. So a lot of times we think that we are going to have our own plan, but it's not always the case. And what I learned in my second conference provided by the IBCM, the camp in Tawa, really helped me realize that. Because we had to learn about basic Bible stories. And at first, I was like, why are they teaching us basic Bible stories like Moses and Joshua? Because we've already learned all this stuff, right? And I was like, how can this stuff be crucial to growing as Christians if we already know this stuff and we're reviewing this stuff? But as I looked at it, even the most basic message that you've heard a billion times can be used as a plan to tell us about how we need to strive for his plan. And I want to quote James 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will come to you. It's a great verse because it explains that our plans don't matter in his worldview. And God always has a plan, and we must draw nearer to him, quoting from the verse. Third point, investing in eternal things. Yeah, Turkey Hill. I'm going to quote from Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there's also there your heart will also. So it's talking about how your treasures don't matter and you should invest in spiritual things because eventually they will go to dust and you need to be looking to your afterlife before your this life. And I learned that from a speaker, Daniel Morelli. He was talking about a few different things actually. investing in the souls of men, investing in eternal things, and investing in the church, investing in leadership, and a few other things. And it really helps me to realize, at first I was like, why should I listen to this? It's like, why should I invest in stuff that I'm already in? Or I'll elaborate. Do not store your treasures up in heaven, because it rusts, and we are not looking for riches here, because our riches will eventually disintegrate. And I, I'm going to go into our passage now. James, turn with me to James 15, verse 1 to 8. John, sorry. So before we start the passage, I just want to summarize it really quick. It's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Fruit, much, and more fruit come from the verses 2, and much fruit comes from the verses 8. It's talking about how you have to be fruitful and make more fruit, and how the branch has no essential value. It cannot be burned, and it can't be used as firewood, and it can't. I already said that, sorry. It can't be used as wood either. So it's useless. There's no value in it. And given the fruitful ministry I've had to experience over the summer, now let's turn to the passage. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while each branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. That thing which cleanses the believer as he walks in the world is the word of God. Remain in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must also remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I also in you. I in you. You bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, you are like a branch thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done. This to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Now I'm just going to have an analysis on these verses. Now that I have mentioned to you a ministry that was fruitful in my own life, I would like to go on a passage that speaks of fruit bearing in general. As Bill McDonald states, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was depicted as a vine planted by Jehovah. But the nation proved unfruitful and unfaithful. So the Lord Jesus now presented himself as the true vine. God the Father is the true wine dresser and keeper. Let's go back to verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me and bears no fruit. Well, each branch that he does not bear, he prunes, so that it will bear even more fruit. As you can see from verse 1 and 2, God the Father and the Son are working together to produce fruit. The branch that bears much fruit is the Christian that is growing more like the Lord Jesus. In modern vineyards, there is a lot more work that needs to go into lifting up these branches, keeping the branch clean from insects and mildew, keeping an eye on the weather also. Just like the vine, the fruit also has to be kept clean. So a Christian must be cleaned from the worldly things that stick up to him. Now, verse 3. You are also clean because of the words I have spoken to you. That thing which cleanses you, the believer also walks in the world as the word of God. Now let's go to verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch may bear fruit by itself. It may remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. To abide or remain means to stay where you are. As Christians, you have been placed in Christ. That is his position. In our daily walk, we must stay close fellowship with the Lord. A branch abides in a vine by drawing all of its energy from the vine. Application. So we must abide in Christ by spending time in prayer, reading, and obeying the word, and fellowshipping with his people, and being aware of our union with him, Christ. The branch can only bear fruit as it abides in the vine. Now, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I also in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A wine branch has one single purpose, to bear fruit. It is useless for making furniture, for building homes, and it makes lousy firewood, but is good for bearing fruit as long as it abides in the vine. Verses 6 and 7. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done unto you. Abiding is the secret of the successful prayer life. The more we get to know him through his will, the more we will understand his will for our lives. The more our will agrees with his, the more we can be sure having our prayers answered. Verse 8. This is to my God, Father's glory. You will bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As we believers show the likeness of Christ to the world, the Father is glorified. Notice that Jesus is saying, you will be my disciples. This means we prove to be God's disciples when we abide in him. Application. Others can see that we are true disciples when we resemble our Lord. In conclusion, my summer was quite fruitful. I traveled to another part of the world and heard great ministry. I've heard others resemble the Lord in their character, and I pray that we would also have this desire in our lives. Now let's pray. Dear Lord God, I pray for a fruitful summer again. I pray that we will abide in you, invest in eternal things, and be the branch that bears much fruit. And I pray likewise to the rest of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Both the PM.